And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is All About America. Each of my guests is giving us a unique perspective on America. My next guest is an American taxpayer, a businessman, a father who immigrated to the United States from Italy. He founded the American People's Party. He'll give us his political manifesto of what's right and what's wrong with America from his book, The America of My Dreams. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, give us a call at 639-0008. And that's the same number that you'll use right now to call in to win four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe. I'll take the third caller at 639-0008. Urbane Cafe has two locations to serve you, 4350 Telephone Road in the Barnes & Noble Plaza, also in Oxnard at 1730 East Gonzales Road, the intersection of Gonzales and Rose in Oxnard. Be the third caller at 639-0008, and four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe are yours. My next guest, Don Scambiloni, is author of The America of My Dreams, a political manifesto. He is a longtime and a passionate American political observer and pundit. He's outspoken, calling for accountability within the U.S. government. Don earned his MBA from Seton Hall University, New Jersey, and he's been a corporate manager for many years. Together, he and his wife have grown children, and they live in Rhode Island, joining us from the East Coast. Hi, Don. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Well, I am doing terrific. Thank you for being our special guest, and thank you for being a thought leader in American politics and an American pundit. So tell us about the American People's Party movement. Why did you form it? Why is it necessary? Isn't our current two political party system, Democrats and Republicans, adequate?
Well, I would call it, as some people have called before me, that we have a two-party dictatorship.
How so?
How's that? Because essentially, you know, the players are different, but the play is still the same. We have seen this country going down the tube or sliding down the tube for the last 30 years, little by little. Congress, Republicans and Democrats alike, have been corrupted by the lobbyists, special interests, and in essence, they are doing what's good for them and not for the country. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in this mess.
All right. Now, I like that, and that's very memorable, a two-party dictatorship. I've written that down and made note of that. But talk to me about this, because ultimately the politicians are responsible to the people. We vote them in, we vote them out. So if we don't like what's going on, every election cycle we have an opportunity to vote these people out. How come America continues down this same path if every 2 years or 4 years, depending on what office you're running for, people are up for re-election?
Well, the voting right we have has been compromised because it appears that he who's got the most money is going to get in. And where does he get the money? From special interests, corporations, businessmen, people that have an interest to get some individual or individuals or even the president be elected to the office. The people don't count. We do not count anymore. I'd like to see a system where the people count. Where money does make any difference, I'd like to see campaigns financed by the Treasury Department where everybody will get the same amount of money so that there'll be the election will not be skewed toward the one who can raise the most money.
Well, now that's interesting, and it brings up two very interesting points, Dom. First of all, you know, you're broadcasting into California. We just had a gubernatorial election. Meg Whitman was the Republican candidate and raised untold millions of dollars in order to finance her campaign.
Yes.
And she lost. She lost to the Jerry Brown, who is a retired and recurring politician in California politics. So money doesn't always win the day, does it?
Perhaps, but the California situation was different. If the kind of publicity that election got on account of that the maid that who claimed God knows what, okay, that would have not been the case. There was a lot of money put behind the demise of Meg Whitman, okay, which to me was unfair, unnecessary, but yet it was political, and they succeeded. Now I hear, for example, that, you know, Mr. Obama, you know, President Obama has $1 billion to spend to be reelected, okay? And that's the fear that we have, that when you have this kind of money being thrown around, you can get something, and sometimes you can't. But be as it may, I'd like to have the system a little bit more equitable so that both parties or both candidates or three candidates have the same amount of money to spend, paid for by the taxpayers, okay, without any hanky-panky, no corporate monies, no special interest money, nothing at all.
All right.
That the people would be then account with the candidates would be accountable to the people and not to the special interest.
All right. I like what you have to say, Dom, but let's go back a little bit further. I mean, right now, the Supreme Court just recently ruled that there can be such things as super PACs that allow either special interest groups or unions to give unlimited funds to any candidate that they choose. That was passed a couple of years ago, and that's the law of the land today. How would you actually go about implementing what you're talking about? Because, first of all, it would mean a lot of unemployment for the lobbyists that are out there, which we wouldn't necessarily feel bad for them. However, the flip side of that is, how would you manage something like that? That sounds like an awful lot of government bureaucracy.
What I'm saying is that, you know, I'm not necessarily saying that the lobbyists will have to be eliminated, although that would be my preference. But at least they would have to be strictly controlled. In other words, everything they do should be in the open, should be transparent, and the people that elect our officials should be aware of what's going on and not have meetings in the middle of the night behind closed doors in a parking lot or in a golf course or in a restaurant somewhere, you know, in the middle of nowhere. Lobbyists should be accountable for what they do to the people as well. We need to know what they do and not make sure that the interest of America come first and not the interest of a politician or politicians.
I like what you have to say. My guest is Dom Scamboloni. Now, Don, you're the author of the book, The America of My Dreams, A Political Manifesto. And in your book, in the manifesto, you lay out a lot of objectives, both short-term and long-term objectives. And I just want to bear down on a couple of them and get your thoughts on them, if I can, please. And certainly you are a believer in free market economies, which is great. You don't want lobbyists. You've already said that. You're not real hip on consultants, college professors that go into consulting. And you certainly are not in line with the czars that we have, the energy czar, the different czars that are appointed by the White House. But you talk about stock markets. You talk about the options market. You talk about the Federal Reserve Bank, where government is intermingled with the private sector there. And in the stock market, you say you want to put a ban on all short selling of stocks. Talk to me about that. And why isn't that government interference in free flow of trade?
Well, it would be interference to free flow trade and free marketing. However, you and I, for example, and your listeners, when they invest a couple of $1,000s in the stock market, whether it's $5,000 or $50,000, they're putting the money there as an investment, and they expect some return. While this is going on, you have the big players, players with huge amount of money, okay? And they can't manipulate the market behind the scenes. For example, you know, they can even try to influence the market to go up or down. How is the average guy going to compete? It can't. When they do short sales, what it means is that they either sell stock that they have or they borrow stocks that they don't have, sell it, hoping that the price will go down so they can repurchase it 2-3 days later, or even the same day, at a lower price, making a profit. Now, how am I going to be able to compete with that? I can't. So there should be some regulatory obligation to make sure that these big players play a fair game. The stock market is for investments. Anybody who wants to gamble can go to Las Vegas or Atlantic City, if you will.
All right, and I like the idea of investing should not be gambling, but you, in throwing the baby out with the bathwater there, Dom, you don't recognize the fact that short selling is actually a very important market mechanism to mitigate risk for a lot of investors.
I don't see it that way. I'm a financial professional.
Yes.
And my MBA is in finance, and I don't believe that for a minute. You know, I don't believe that the short sales have anything to do with the economy or anything else. The short sales is a tool for speculators to make a lot of money and at times at the expense of the average investors.
All right.
And I'd like that to stop.
Well, and certainly what you described earlier is the naked short sale of shorting stock that you don't own. That has been regulated to a certain degree. What a simple compromise on something like this, Dom, would be to restore the uptick rule. And the uptick rule is that you can't short a stock until if on the way down. You have to wait for the stock to go up a little bit before you can start to short it. Would that be sufficient to meet your needs?
In my mind, it would not.
Why not?
Because I don't want people to play games. Because what happens, what has been happening, and I've seen, and I'm sure you have seen it too, some laws have been written and put in the books. And then there are some huge loopholes that people can put a truck through it. So, you know, why have a law that it's up to interpretation for people to either use it or abuse it? Just eliminate the short sales altogether. If you want to invest, invest it. God bless you. I hope you make the right pick and make a lot of money. But don't play games because the average person is going to be hurt.
My guest is Dom Scamboloni. And, Don, it sounds to me like you're talking about our U.S. tax code, a law that's on the books that's full of loopholes that people drive trucks through all the time.
Indeed.
But that's for another discussion. You also talk about stock options. You say that we should outlaw stock options for corporate employees. Now, I find this an interesting one, too, because here again you're getting into how companies compensate their people. You're interfering, government interference, in how the free market and companies work. Talk to me about what you mean about eliminating stock options for employees and how that isn't government interference.
Okay. First of all, you know, corporations are not owned by the government. They're owned by stockholders like you and me, pension plans, you know, retirement funds, IRA accounts, and so forth. Okay?
Yes.
When the stock options are given to employees, particularly to the top echelon of a corporate structure, you know, the CEO, president, vice president, so forth. What that means that a piece of the company is being given away to these people, creating a couple of things. One is that you're giving away a piece of the company, which means the company is worth less share-wise, because if you had 10 million shares outstanding, now you have 11 million shares outstanding, okay? So you dilute the value of the company, and therefore it's a disservice to the company. Number two, okay, bonuses should be paid with cash, taken out of profit. If a company makes money, God bless them, you can give the whole amount that you earned to bonuses. If the company does not make any money, like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, no bonuses for anybody. Because what happens is that the management, at times, they're more interested in the value of the stock than the bottom line of the company at the end of the year.
All right, I see what you have to say, Dom. But here's the reason that a lot of stock options or a lot of bonuses are not paid in cash, and it goes back to the income tax code that we just talked about. If you pay your top executives in cash,
yep,
then they're liable for it with their income taxes. You pay them in stock options, then they're not liable for it until they sell those particular shares of stock. So it's a tax deferment plan as much as anything else.
Well, you know why? And why should they not pay taxes on compensation that they get? Why should they be exempt from paying taxes? And besides, you know, if you take a look at my tax plan, our tax plan, where we propose a flat tax of 12%, eliminating all the tax gimmicks and the tax shelters, and have all the income, regardless where it comes from, be taxed at 12%, that will take care of it.
Well, all right. That's a very interesting lead into what I wanted to talk about with your flat tax strategy. So let's go down that path, shall we? Flat tax of 12% on the surface sounds very good. Everybody pays 12%. You can fill out your tax form on the back of a postcard. You simply take whatever your adjusted gross is for that year, and then you multiply it times 12%, and that's the check you write to the government.
Right.
Seems very, very good on the surface. However, is that flat tax punitive to poor people and middle-class people who, even though it's only 12% of what they earn, that's going to be a bigger, more punitive percentage of what they're earning than it will be for a guy who's making multiple millions of dollars?
Okay, then I think that you may have missed the fact that I'm proposing that, that for single filers, the first $25,000 would be exempt, and for married filers, the first $50,000 would be exempt.
All right.
What it means that if you're married filing joint return and you make $100,000 a year, you will pay taxes only on $50,000.
All right, that makes sense. My guest is Dom Scamboloni. We're talking about his book, The America of My Dreams, A Political Manifesto, and we're talking about the planks in his platform. So, Dom, another big part of what the platform that you put forward is immigration. So talk to us about immigration and your steps for reforming immigration.
Well, let's put it this way. You know, I believe in immigration. I think it's a healthy thing to have. This country has been made by immigrants, and I'm one of them myself.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't think that it should be abolished, but I'd like to see legal immigration take a hold, you know, rather than try to have, you know, amnesty, try to have a Dream Act. I don't want to see people, I want to see people come under the fence or over the fence. Make it legal. However, I also think that for those people that are already living here, that have been here for 10, 15 years, 5 years, they should be given a path to become legal resident and eventually citizen. And my proposal is to, first of all, make employers make an illegal act to hire illegal immigrants who are not here legally. Number two, announce a path for temporary residency. In other words, everybody that is here would get a social security and a work permit, so this way they can start working and paying taxes. At the same time, within the next 5 years, they will be investigated, and anyone with a criminal record, with a felony record of some kind, it would be deported. Everybody else would then become legal residents, and eventually they can apply for legal citizenship.
Now, Dom, you yourself are an immigrant. Doesn't it offend you that somebody who is coming into this country illegally would then have this amnesty period where they could become legal, whereas you went through all the proper channels, you did everything right, you kept your nose clean, and in the end, you're both going to have equal status in the United States?
Well, I would not mind it. It may anger me a little bit, but then again, we have 12, 15 million people here, and our way is that we're going to deal with them. We're going to recognize the fact that the problem is huge, and there is no way that we can deport these people. And besides, some of them are good citizens, good workers anyway. And I think they're here already. We got to deal with this. Let's find a way to bring them into our society slowly. It would take 10 years for them to become citizens. So in 10 years, they will pay taxes, that there will be they will make contribution to the economy, to society, and so forth. And later, they can become citizens.
No, that's
is it the way, the ideal way? Perhaps not, but I don't see any other way, really.
Well, it's a very pragmatic approach. My guest has been Dom Scamboloni. He is the author of a book, The America of My Dreams, A Political Manifesto. He's also the leader of the American People's Party. Dom, if people are intrigued by what they hear, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I would say go to the website of the party, which is appmovement.org. And in there, they can get to my other website for the book. They can leave a comment. In fact, I would appreciate a comment. And if people see and like what they see and want to join the movement, they're more than welcome with all the help we can get.
appmovement.org. That is great. Dom, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
And thanks for having me.
You're welcome, and we'll talk to you down the road.